COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Symptoms of this respiratory disease include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. These symptoms may show up 2 to 14 days after exposure. If you're experiencing these symptoms and have come in contact with or in an area with an ongoing outbreak, please call a hotline and/or consult a physician. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces. For more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the I Am Cannabis Sativa podcast. I'm your host, Dan Scotland. If you are currently a medical marijuana patient and want to tell your story and be featured on the podcast, feel free to email me at iamcannabissativa@gmail.com. Feel free to hit us up on Instagram at iamcannabissativa. You can also find me on Twitter at icsativapod. You can find and subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor FM, Overcast, Radio Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play Music Store, and more. Please rate and review us on iTunes, as rating and reviewing us will bump up the pod on their algorithm and put this podcast in front of even more eyeballs. If you like what we are doing, please become a Patreon supporter of the podcast and support us. Supporting us helps us to keep the lights on, pay rent, pay for hosting, equipment, and travel. And you can do this by going to https://anchor.fm/IAmCannabisSativaPodcast/support. You can also support me now on Patreon at www.patreon.com/ICSativaPodcast. You can support this podcast for as little as $1 a month. We also have a $5 tier if you're feeling extra generous. A special thanks to our current patrons and supporters. Shout out to friends of the show Reefer Revolution for supporting the podcast. Shout out to our new Patreon and friend of the show, Gracie Gatto. Shout out also to Joy One Love 420, also a friend of the show and founder of Keystone State Reviews. Becoming a Patreon or financially supporting us through Anchor, Patreon, PayPal gets you perks like early episodes, exclusives, and shout outs at the beginning of every episode. We also have been recently syndicated by friend of the show, Russ Belfill, and will now be featured weekly on Radical Russ Radio right before his show from Monday 7 a.m., Tuesday 9 a.m., Wednesday 11 a.m., Thursday 1 p.m., and Friday 3 p.m., all Mountain times. And without further ado, let's get to the episode. Howdy, folks. No intro again today. Just wanted to have another sort of brainstorming session slash fireside chat, but whatever you want to call it. Dan Scotland here, joining you from Massachusetts, as always. So yesterday, I just renewed my medical cannabis certification. Again, I've complained about the mass medical system, like the entire duration of this podcast. When I started this podcast 3 years ago, I was talking about how we pay over $300 an ounce. 3 years later, we're still paying $300 an ounce for medical, and we have a hundred adult use stores. And some of those adult use stores will do $40 eighths as a treat, or with like littles now. But you're still paying around $400 an ounce. We have 100 adult use stores. 2 years ago, no. 3 years ago, we had zero or two. We had two 3 years ago, but now we have over 100 adult use stores. So adult use is coming along, but like the prices are still not really going down. And medical has been a lot slower because a lot of the businesses now, they're just focusing on adult use. They're like, oh, the big cash cow is adult use. So further building out already anemic medical that Massachusetts has, that just got skipped, and not even skipped. Like, again, most of the politicians and most of the appointees that our political establishment put to oversee cannabis, and again, this is a bipartisan like mess up. You know, Duvall was terrible on it. He We didn't have medical until the year Baker was sworn in. Like he kicked the can like 3 years after we voted on it. It took till the next governor to do it. And again, Duvall, when he was on the way out, during the time he was trying to get medical going for 3 years or whatever, he, like Baker, he appointed anti-cannabis, big pharma, former cops, whatever. He appointed people that don't like the plant, just like Republican Baker is doing. So it's meet the new boss. It's same as the old boss. He's been doing all the same cannabis stuff, even though we're a little bit like our neighbor state where like whether you get a Republican or Democrat, they're just against cannabis. Like New Hampshire's like that. I mean, to Sununu's credit, he decrimmed 3/4 of an ounce and then expanded medical to a degree, but he's still bad. He's against home grow and he's against adult use, even though 70% of his voters want it. Like, but again, I mean, most of your politicians nationwide, they hate the plant. They hate the people that use the plant. Again, he's one of the youngest governors in the country. He's only in his early flipping 40s. And he's like, oh, it's going to exacerbate the opioid crisis. Dude, you grew up watching Carson Daly on MTV and maybe Kennedy or whatever. You grew up watching those people. You don't literally believe that. You grew up a dare. You don't literally believe the crap you're talking about. You don't literally believe that. You're on the take. You're being paid to say these things. Because people who've grown up people who are, you know, 80s babies or 70s babies, like they shouldn't have these antiquated views. But they're still, you know, 40-year-old fossils. They're still 30-year-old fossils. You know, they're like in a lot of legal states and a lot of medical states, Republican delegations are still being against it regardless of age. I've looked this up. On the normal website. I've been looking up various medical states, whether they're, you know, very big medical states like somewhere like Arizona, or whether they're adult use like Michigan, I'm trying to think what other states, like Montana or whatever. Like again, Montana's had medical since 2004. They've had medical since 2004. Like they were pretty early adopters of medical, yet most of their political representation is against it. Like we still have a ways to flipping go, but again, so to get back to what I was talking about, I renewed my card. Thankfully I was able to do it through Telemed. The Telemed allowance for COVID, Baker is set to end that for I want to say first week of September. So I mean, I don't know if he's going to extend that because of the rising cases. I have heard some murmurings that the Cannabis Control Board or the Cannabis Control Commission wants to extend it. They want to keep telemedicine permanently. So they're finally saying what the grassroots has been yelling about the past year about this. Why just have it for COVID-19? Is it because you're afraid that we're going to get cannabis for stubbed toes and that we're not going to show up to work anymore? Is this dare stuff that you heard Richard Nixon tell you when you were in your 20s? Is this stuff that you heard from Nixon and you're just parroting it and you're not thinking critically about it? Is that what you're doing, bro? But again, I mean, it's just so again, like they don't want to give us telemedicine because again, they think a lot of medical patients are not actual medical patients. They're just degenerate adults that just want to get high all the time. We can't make it too easy to get a card because then it'll be like California where everyone gets it for stubbed toes or they get a medical card for a paper cut. We can't have that. That's gonna upset the law and order. Like, it's just this moronic thinking that a lot of politicians and a lot of states are doing. Like, why not keep telemedicine in all the medical states after COVID? Why not? Some elderly people are retired and are on fixed incomes, and they're renewing their cards on Social Security retirement or pensions. These aren't people loaded with dough getting cards. The average Jane, the average Joe, they work for a living, or they're retired, or they're disabled, or whatever, and they don't have unlimited amounts of money to spend on this stuff. Yet, you have politicians like, oh, we can't make it too easy because, you know, some 18 and 19 year olds may get a medical card and drop out of college or whatever. Like these dumb, stupid, antiquated assumptions about the plant, the people that use the plant, the uses of the plant. It's like, again, they know they have to give it to us, but they're still mad that we want this legal for medical or adult use. They're still mad. So the politicians, especially here, they still drag their feet on all levels. All right, fine. We'll give you your adult use shop, but we'll only open two. We'll only open two on the first day of adult use sales. We'll only open two. We won't put them in the biggest cities. We're just going to drag butt. Because we're so pissed you voted yes. But anyway, so I got the telemedicine appointment from Medwell. It's pretty straightforward. I had to fill out some stuff while I was allegedly at work. I had to go to my car. You know, I did it during break for the most part, but like they wanted me, like I had to put like a picture of myself. Yeah, I had to take a picture. I had to write down why I'm taking medical. Is it helping me? What condition? I had to do that. But then my doctor, she texted me saying that she was ready early. So when I took my break, I was at Burger King, believe it or not. So yeah, I renewed my medical marijuana card at Burger King. Fun fact, people. But. So I renewed it at Burger King. It was like, she saw me, it was like 10 minutes. Like, oh, have you used this medically before? Is it helping you? What kind of administration do you take? Do you have, bipolar or schizophrenia or any of those sort of have you ever had any mental episode or whatever? What other prescriptions do you take or whatever? And then that was it. And then she was like, oh, you have a great rest of your day. That's it was that easy. It was probably between 7 to like 15 minutes or so. Like it was from like her texting me and then I had to download this like app or whatever. I forgot. I think it's like Next Doctor or whatever, something like that. I had to download this app on my Android phone. So that took like a minute or so. But once I got the app, I clicked the link on my email. It was by webcam. She obviously saw I was at Burger King, but then she was just, I'm sure she gets this because most of us work for a flipping living. So we got to do this during our breaks. And again, I really didn't want to take Uber or find a way to get there again. You know, I really didn't want to do that because like the area that is in, I have to pay for parking. Like I'd have to pay for parking. It's like a downtown area. And like I finish work at 5 o'clock. So I don't want to fight traffic. I don't want to fight rush hour traffic. You know how rush hour traffic is if you work for a living, especially if you live in a, you know, medium sized state or a state with near a big city or whatever, but even in general, I mean, commutes could suck even if you live out in the boonies. But anyway, like I didn't want to have to do this like during the week. I didn't want to be like, oh, I talk to my manager, be like, oh, I need to leave like 2 hours early. I didn't want to have to do that. I just wanted to do this during my break and be done. Like telemedicine works. Like these politicians, like our political establishment in various medical and adult use states. Again, they hate the plant. They hate the people that use said plant. And again, they think that we're just using this and saying, oh, we're sick. We really like weed, so we're just doing this because we like it or whatever. We're just getting the card under the guise of having a medical condition. And then just doing it all the time. Like that's what your politicians think. But if they allow this to be too accessible, you're gonna have the young adults that are like 18 to 20 or whatever. They're gonna get cards like crazy through webcam. They're gonna be smoking it in college. They're gonna be not showing up to class. They're not gonna go to work. They're not gonna yada yada yada, whatever they think. Or, oh, we don't want people getting it for paper cuts because then everyone will get it. And then we'll have so many pot shops and it's going to lower my property values, or I have to smell cannabis even though I don't complain about driving to the boonies to visit my redneck uncle. Like it's like this hypocrisy. Like you have the political establishment, for the most part, that hates the plan, hates the people that use the plan. You have people in various levels locally, and we're seeing in Jersey where close to around 70% of the state, most of the municipalities said no to it. And in Massachusetts, I want to say it was about 55% said no. Like the municipalities, they blocked or delayed sales of stores. There's only like a few stores in my county. Like the one near me, I'd have to drive like 20 minutes or so, man. Like I'd have to drive 20 minutes one way, and there's about two or three in my county. So one of them, it's in a downtown, and friend of the show has it. My friend of this show runs at this dispensary. It's in downtown Haverhill. Look it up. Trying to think of the name right now. Maybe I'll put it in the description. But yeah, there's that, and then there's one like a couple towns from me, but in my county, and that's it's 20 minutes one way. It's a nice drive. The only time I'm like white knuckling it, because like the town that I have to pass to get to the dispensary is a dry town, and I've seen I don't know. I just see like a lot of like trucks. I see a lot of like American flags. I see a lot of just like, and like the last time I was there, like 2 years ago, like I saw a truck with like a flipping Confederate flag. I mean, it's like Malcolm X said, the South is south of Canada. So, I mean, you're going to find racism anywhere, but yeah, I mean, like, again, I mean, that place, again, it's near a dry town. Like dry towns, it seems like dry towns are just more like, seems to be like a, like I was watching these like videos about sundown towns, and like the video series I was watching, like the sundown towns, a lot of them were in dry towns. So it's like, I mean, is this where like rednecks just congregate or whatever, these dry towns? Like, I mean, I don't know. But I'm always very sort of like leery about these sort of like boony sort of areas, or these boony adjacent areas like that place was, because it's like the drive there, like before I get to that dry town or whatever, like the drive there is scenic. There's like a pond near it and stuff, and it's pretty nice. But then again, once I'm in like Boxford, I'm like white knuckling it, because it's a dry town. It's really like, I told one of my good friends that area had a dispensary, and he lived in the town next to it his entire life, and not his entire life. He lives in a different part of the state now, but he was shocked that area had a store. Like that's how, like, sort of to get to that area, it was a lot of sort of weird towns. But yeah, I mean the actual dispensary of Mission, they were great when they were Healthy Farms, when they were more of a small dispensary, but now they were purchased by an MSO in Arizona, and now they're Mission. They used to be Healthy Farms when I used to know them, but it's Mission now. They're an MSO. They're in Arizona. If you're in Arizona, my Arizona listeners, shout out to you folks. Yeah, that's there. But yeah, I got my telemedicine. We need to, in all the medical states, we need to keep this post-COVID. That's the key. We need to do this. But the last thing I want to end off with, and I want to leave you with this, is like on cannabis registries, they can track how many ounces a person purchases a month, you know, whether they get edibles, whether they get flower, you know, do they renew the card but then never go to a dispensary? They're able to track all those things. They're able to track all those things, like the amount of stuff they know about, you know, the medical patients of the state. Again, it's a registry. That's what it does. But the amount of stuff, like, the amount of stuff they know is like they know if people are just getting the cards and then they're not, you know, purchasing things in the dispensaries. They know that. Like, I mean, I wonder how many, like, I know the Cannabis Control Commission. I know most of them, they hate the plant. They hate the people that use the plant, but they know the murmurings of people going to Maine. They know of it. That's why they gave us the expanded caregiver law.
That's why you had Brady McBride, Commissioner McBride, former commissioner, talking about ending vertical integration, using our flipping talking points after several years of testifying, of imploring her to do differently when we thought she was full of it. But then she was repeating our talking points, the grassroots talking points, after years of the work we've been doing. You know, it's the long game. You got to play the long game. You know, we don't get what we want right away, but you got to keep grinding. You got to keep trying. But yeah, I mean, it's again, it's the long game. But again, I mean, the Cannabis Control Commission, they're not dumb. They know that a lot of people are discontent with our system. They know that we feel that we are being price gouged. We feel that there hasn't been sufficient enough improvement during the 6 years that medical stores have been open. There's been very little changes in the prices. You go to an adult use store in the West Coast, you have dozens of different strains. But then you go to a store in Massachusetts, only five, maybe six as a treat or whatever. But you go to California, you go to Oregon, you go to Washington, when I was in Washington State, dozens of strains I could have used. And like they did it they did it based on like on quality or whatever, like the lower quality one. From what I remember, I only got edibles because I was in an Airbnb. But from what I remember, I think at that time, I think like their eights were $30, you know, a tincture was like $20 after the 30% tax or 30 whatever. It's 30 some percent in Washington. But again, even then when I was there in 2017, still a lot cheaper than Massachusetts. Still way more edibles I would never see in Massachusetts. Way more edibles, way more selection when you go to the dispensary, way more strains, you know, still the same level of ID tracking, like still pretty consistent based on wasn't any different than Mass, but what was different is that Washington State allows people to do sales. So even though I was just a tourist, they asked for my phone number, then they still text me coupons. But other states are doing it better. Other states are doing medical better. Some of us are probably going to Maine and some of us are not going to the Massachusetts dispensaries. Some of us are getting the card just for legal protection and just so we can have more, we can medicate in more places, so on and so forth. Just again, legal protection, legal sort of covering your butt and, you know, being a law abiding citizen and stuff. Or again, just protection to a certain degree, you know, would work or whatever. Or I've heard people mention that that people should get cards because A, you know, you have higher doses of things you can get, and then B, you have legal you have in a lot of states. I'm not saying every state. I know Pennsylvania is still pretty bad, but again, not a lawyer. But in a lot of states, like getting a card, like if a doctor is not a doctor, but if a cop like thinks you're impaired or whatever. Like, instead of them being able to throw the book at you, you know, like, if you are a patient and let's say you're zipping a CBD card and they're giving you trouble, like, you know, when you go to the judge and stuff, like, having the card's going to help you. Having the card might get you off the hook a lot of the time. So I've heard people say that that's a good reason for having a card. But, yeah, I mean, I think all of us, I think most of us, if we can, I think most of us should in Massachusetts. I think we should continue voting with our feet. We renew the card. We pay our doctor, hopefully through telemedicine certifications and research. You know, hopefully we win and we were able to keep it. But we see our doctor and we just go to Maine. We just go to our buddy that home grows. We just buy in the traditional gray or legacy market. You know, we go to Maine, we go to Rhode Island. If we were to just do that, if you just get the card, if let's say like 30,000 or 40,000 patients just renewed their card but never went to a dispensary the whole year, that would send a shockwave through the cannabis control regulators and through our politicians. They're gonna be like, oh my goodness, these MSOs are giving us like campaign money, yada yada. These MSOs that give us cash, you know, although we are making money off them, they are not generating enough income anymore because people are driving to Maine. People are growing their own. People are going to their friends that grow and, you know, are just gifting it to each other and doing mutual aid or, you know, going to Maine or driving to Rhode Island or going to other states or just going through the hemp market, just buying CBD instead. They're getting the card for, you know, the legal protection I talked about. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but they're getting it for that. They're getting it for work protection to a degree because our Supreme Court ruled favorably on it a few years ago. So we do, Massachusetts, we do have some protection, some workplace protection to a degree. Again, I mean, employers could still try to weasel out of it, but the highest court of our state said that they can't fire you for testing positive. So there's some protection if you're a medical patient in Massachusetts. So again, that's why I got it. I'm just gonna continue doing what I'm doing. I'm gonna go the hemp and the Delta 8 route. That's been a cheaper route. I'm getting the medication. I'm getting the medicating that I need. It's doing the job. Delta 8 does. I put Delta 8 distillate on the CBD I vape. Knocks me out as well as any indica, and it's even more clear headed than just doing a pure THC strain. It's more clear headed, Delta 8 as a whole, and then the CBD on top of it. It's like it's more medicating than just you know getting really sort of, you know, high and floaty, and then going to sleep and then waking up or whatever. Like, I don't know. It's cleaner a little bit to me, going the CBD and Delta 8 distillate. It's more functional. I can. You know, it's a clear headed, but you're medicated. You know, I still feel body effects. I still feel heavy in the body, but I feel tired. So it does the job. I'm pragmatic. I use whatever works. And if it's, and I try to look for the most prudent, the most affordable and the most, you know, practical for me. I'm not going to blow money on something just because there are dispensaries in my state. If I feel that those dispensaries are price gouging, if I feel that they're throwing crumbs at me and they're just content in taking my money and keeping prices high, I'm not going to give them my money anymore. Giving them my money, even again, I just renewed. So I have all these renewal deals I can get, but I'm not going to get them. And you know why? I'm going to be giving the system. I'm going to be giving these dispensaries that are after 5 years are still charging $300 an ounce. I'm going to give them, even if I'm getting discounts with them, I give them my money. I'm still validating their system. So again, I've been just going the hemp route. I've been going the Delta 8 route. I've been going the knowing people that grow their own, and I've been going the traditional market, and that's been better for me. So again, if all of us vote with our feet in Massachusetts, if 40,000 patients don't renew their cards, but then they don't go to a dispensary, our regulations would change overnight because there'd be too much money being lost. We need to do that. We need to show these people that are hostile to our interests that we mean business, and that's the way to do it. But enough from me. I can be found anywhere you find podcasts such as iTunes, CastBox, Stitcher, TuneIn, Radio, iHeartRadio, or other platforms like it. You can find me on Stitcher and all those other sort of platforms and Spotify, all those major platforms. And most of the major apps and the major platforms you want to find me on, I tend to be there. You can follow me on Instagram at @IamCannabisSativa and on Twitter at @ICSativaPod. And as always, everyone, stay medicated, my friends. Peace out and ciao.
If you find yourself coming around often to my podcast and want to support our humble little project, there are quite a few ways you could do so. Supporting us helps us keep the lights on, pay rent, pay for hosting, equipment, and travel. You can do this by going to https://anchor.fm/IamCannabisSativaPodcast/support. You can also support me now on Patreon at www.patreon.com/ICSativaPodcast. You can support the podcast for as little as $1 a month. We also have a $5 and above tier if you are feeling extra generous. Additionally, if you wish to get in contact with us, you can leave a voice message on Anchor, and you can do this by going to
https://anchor.fm/imcannabissativapodcast and click the send voice message button, and I may just play it on a future episode. You can also call and leave a voice message at 617-466-9389, and I may just play it on a future episode. Feel free to join the ever-expanding I Am Cannabis Sativa podcast planet on Discord. We've got a Discord channel, and that Discord channel can be found at https://discord.gg/greg/65tg2nr. Again, that is https://discord.gg/65tg2nr. Feel free to check out Sequoia Organics for a great source of CBD and hemp-based products. You can check them out by the link https://bit.ly/33fkrv9, and you can enter the following coupon codes for extra discounts, such as dogtreat20, tincture20, 40% off ISO, 15% off CBD, and that applies to the entire store. And as always, everyone, stay medicated, my friends. Peace out and ciao.